Welcome to a new go of new home sales, where we discuss innovative sales and marketing technologies in residential new construction. With millions of dollars flowing into PropTech, we highlight new systems and share best practices so you can successfully incorporate MarTech into your sales cycle. And now, your hosts, John Lee and Anya Krisander. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for a new episode of A New Go of New Home Sales. I'm your host, Anya Krisanthan, and joining me today is Rob Krohn. For those of you who need the introduction, Rob is VP of Marketing with Epcon Communities. I'm so excited about our conversation today, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Rob, before we jump into it, let's talk a little bit about your background. Tell us who you are, tell us what you do, and how did you get into the world of home builder marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I'm the VP of marketing for Epcon Communities, as well as our franchising company, Epcon Franchising. Epcon focuses on the 55 plus space, and we are a home builder. We have six corporate regions, as well as having 80 franchise builders that build our product around the country. I've been with Epcon for just over 10 years now. I come from a non-home building background. I was in the advertising. Yeah, imagine that. I come from the advertising agency world. I had my own marketing company. I worked for high growth entrepreneurial startups, and then eventually worked my way to Epcon in both sides of our company. I did have Centex Homes as one of my clients for my marketing company. So I did have some experience in the home building space. I actually helped them to launch their 55 plus product here in Columbus, Ohio at that time.
Very cool. Rob, we can't talk about marketing without talking about technology. It seems like the two are merging and converging. And I think going forward, that's going to be more so of the case. And so I'm curious about, how do you see technology really shaping the future of home building? And is there any particular innovations that you're excited about?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I was most excited of coming into the home building space, because I saw the opportunity and the potential of what was there coming from a software development technology background with a number of the companies I worked for. That was a natural thing for me to gravitate to coming over to this industry. Right now, AI is the latest shiny object. That's what everybody's talking about, trying to figure out, what do we do with it? How do we use it? How do we apply it to the business? Just websites in general, virtual reality, augmented reality have all been those shiny objects at various points in the past. And we have to look to those and say, okay, they're employed and people have found ways to integrate it, but it has it completely shifted how you do business. In some ways, yes, but not completely fundamentally changing a home building business. But there are technologies such as 3D printing, modularization, robotics, along with AI technology. I think that is, we are really on that first block of all of the changes that those can make into our industry. For us, we use a company by the name of HiArc, which is allowing us to do real-time visualizations of our homes. And to me, that is a great evolution for what we do with our buyers. Instead of them looking at a representation of a home, they're able to start designing their home. And that takes it completely in another direction. They're making changes to the colors and the structure, and in real time, able to see what that is going to look like in the final product. The most important thing that HiArc has allowed us to do is it ties to our sales and construction process. So many times what has happened in the past, there are visualization tools, but the marketing starts to build those. Meanwhile, construction goes and builds a home and makes changes. And all of a sudden there's a window becomes a door and an entryway changes. But with this platform, real-time changes happen to both the marketing assets as well as the construction plans. So you don't have to go, you don't have a lot of outdated materials. And I think those are making a big difference in our business. And it's really what I call a single source of truth. There's one set of plans that's impacting marketing, sales, and construction.
Right. Yeah, I definitely am excited about a lot of the innovations, especially in the home building itself. And the marketing part is obviously super exciting for me. And I feel like a lot of home builders are starting to catch up to all the cool things that are available. But you, like you mentioned, the 3D printing and modular, all of that is really, I think, what's going to allow us to fill that huge gap that we have right now with shortage of homes. So, and I think HIARC's been made its name, right? It's came on the scene. So we keep hearing HIARC everywhere. So I'm glad you guys are starting to utilize that technology. I'm excited to see the whole process from start to finish and how the, especially the marketing part evolves, because that's always an interesting journey. So Rob, we recently got back from the International Builders Show. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see you in person. I was bummed about that. It's always run a lot of running around and seeing lots and lots of people. But you were on stage presenting. And so one of the sessions you had was entitled Engage and Keep Prospects Happy, Top of Funnel to Bottom. And when we chatted ahead of time, you had mentioned to me that one of the things you talked about was the evolution of the sales and marketing funnel. So can you talk to us a little bit about some of the misconceptions that you see builders having around that idea of marketing funnel?
Yeah, I think the biggest myth we were trying to bust on stage, it was a great panel. There were some excellent people on the panel with me, but that the funnel is created by home builders who are process driven. And when you're developing a piece of property or building a home, you have to follow a certain process and go from point A to point B. But the myth is that we actually control the buyer journey at the same time. We have a funnel, we have a process, but the buyer doesn't. In many ways, they're a butterfly kind of wandering around and trying to figure out where they're going to land. So a big point of the focus of our panel was to talk about, we can't control what they do, but we can steer them in the right direction. We can be there when they have questions. We can deliver them visuals and information that helps to steer and influence what they're going to do next. Wayfinding signage, in a way. It's go there, go here, go there. And that way you can move them along in their journey by being an effective communicator and showing them what you have and how it fits with what they may be looking for.
Mm-hmm. So since you deal specifically with 55 plus communities, let's talk a little bit about communicating to that particular demographic, because a lot of people still think, oh, 55 plus, those are like your grandma, grandpa. And the demographic has really changed, because I was thinking the other day, I'm 14 years away from being qualified to be in 55 plus community, which is crazy to me. Let's bust some of these kind of outdated assumptions and myths about 55 plus. And what do you see in that demographic happening right now?
Yeah. Silent generation and baby boomers have very much dominated the 55 plus space for 15, 20 years now. But if you think about it, Gen X, which the oldest part of Gen X, which were built or which were born in 1965, they're now 59 years old. So there's already 4 years of Gen X that have moved into the 55 plus space. And that sometimes catches people off guard. I just had a birthday. I'm 1 year closer to being into that demographic. And so when you start to think about 55 plus market, the comment I always make is, we are not assisted living. We are not wheelchairs and walkers. We're tacos and tequila. Our buyers are wanting to have freshman year in college again. They want to be around people their own age. They get their cultural references and in my life, bad dad jokes. But it's, can I be around people that are ready to go live and have fun and be doing adventurous things? That's what our communities are about. You think about from a technology standpoint, Gen X is the ones that built all the toys everybody's playing with today. From Google on down, that was a Gen X, those are Gen X led companies in many ways. And we've adapted to every technology that came along. I could still work an 8-track player, as well as a CD player, as well as have an iPod. Every technology that's come along, we've figured it out, adapted to it, learned how to use it, and put it into place. And I think the minute people start to go, it's 55 plus, we've got to dial everything back, I think you're really missing the boat, especially with this generational change that's happening today. Meta continues to be in play, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Because if you look where Gen X is, we're in all of those platforms. because that's just how we are. We figure them out, we adapt to them, we employ them and go. My son, who is a tweener between millennial and Gen Z, he can't work a VCR. We still have one. Don't ask me why, but I asked him to try to figure out how to use it. He couldn't figure out how to put the tape in it. And it's like, when you think about it, a technology advanced generation, but they only know what they know today, where Gen X is one that's figured everything else along the way.
Yeah. Some of the terminology throughout there, like iPods, VCRs, the CDs, I don't know. Some of our listeners may have to look those up.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, you're so right. It is crazy. Even thinking about myself, I remember having a Walkman, and today I was taking my daughter to school, and somewhere in my car there fell out a CD, which I have no idea where the CD even came from. And she's like, "Mom, put it in." And I'm like, "How do you even know?" But then I'm like, "Okay, she hangs out with my parents who are in their 70s, so they still use CD players. She sees that." But I'm like, "Wow, in your generation, you're not even gonna know what that was, let alone like a tape cassette player and rewinding the tape back and all the things we had to deal with."
Exactly. Yeah.
So I love how you said tacos and tequila. So for that generation. So talk to me a little bit about some of the amenities or some of the, what are preferences of that generation as far as like living conditions, or what are they looking for when it comes to a new home? Because obviously it's going to be very different from your old baby boomers.
Yeah, the first thing you have to take into consideration is there is going to be a financial difference between early wave boomers, late wave boomers, and early wave Xers. The first wave boomers, which are 65 to 75, let's say, financially are the most well-off segment of our population. The homes that they could afford and what they were looking for met a certain criteria of wants and needs. And as you go into each next 10 years, that financial wherewithal falls. We did a research project a few years ago in preparation for the Gen X coming with the company Second Wave Research. And we looked at those three cohorts, early wave, second wave of boomers, and then the first wave of the Xers. And Xers actually have half the net worth of boomers at the same point in time. So in this same age range, the boomers had twice as much financial wherewithal as the Gen X has right now. So that's a first consideration, is the cost of the homes will be critical to have the right product mix and fit to your audience. Also start to think about communal spaces like large clubhouses for large gathering spaces. Baby boomers in general were a communal generation, that they like to get together and do things together. Gen X is a lot more siloed, a lot more individual. They're into their own individual interests and not necessarily into the large communal spaces. So maybe the clubhouses can adapt or adjust to fit that. The Gen X is also very busy. I think we could all get into that within their work lives, their family lives. There's a lot going on to have to juggle. So how do you make it as easy as possible for them to learn about your company, your product, what you have to offer? The ability for them to self-direct, and I'm solid Gen X, so I'm speaking to myself as well. It's the ability to self-direct my own journey. I want to be able to find things and research things online myself. I want to be able to explore a home. I want to be able to come tour it in person on my own. I'll raise my hand when I'm ready to talk with someone. But if your process right now is you have to submit your information for me to talk to, I'm probably not going to do that until you've given me the things that I'm wanting and needing to research the home and the cost basis and everything else. That builds trust. That is going to build trust with a Gen X buyer, is if you've given me everything I've wanted, I've been able to research everything I've wanted, then I'm going to have trust in you before I've ever spoken to you. Where a lot of builders are believe, I will build trust the minute I meet with you. And it's a mind shift.
Yeah, and it certainly is different from the traditional baby boomers, that assumption that they want to be handheld and they really want everything to be over the phone and in person. So it's interesting that you broke it out into almost like a three different segments. So when you think about the type of messaging on your website to appeal to this new generation or generations, because obviously you got to fit those three in, what are some of the tools that you would recommend smart home builders implement on their website to help facilitate that process? So like you mentioned, to build trust, to allow them to do a little bit of that self-research. So what are some of the favorite tools that you see and maybe that you guys are implementing with Epcon communities?
Yeah, absolutely. And because we're in a generational shift, we've got to have resources and tools that appeal to either type of buyer. So being able to schedule your own self-tour and come on your time. If it's 8 p.m. at night and the salespeople have left for the day, my ability to fit it into my schedule, I can come take a self-tour and look at that home myself. But we also have the OSC or the sales team that you can come and immediately speak with and have your questions answered. And that's really critical. The path that the buyer is taking, do you have tools and resources for whatever path they want to take, rather than your hard and rigid process? This is how we do it. We gate our information. You have to submit information to talk with us. You have to meet with somebody. I always say Amazon doesn't sell product between the hours of 10 and 5, and you're forced to talk to somebody before you can purchase. You purchase on your time when you want to, any hour of the day. And so it's expanding your ability to interact with a buyer on their terms rather than just on your own.
Yeah, I love that. I think the Amazon is always leading the way and showing us what's coming next. So one of the things that I'm really excited to see with Amazon is this year, they've introduced Rufus, which is their AI assistant. So I haven't seen it in my own shopping cart yet, but I'm excited when it hits the general population so I can start testing that. And I know that they're going to be using that same tool to sell cars, a Hyundai that's coming later this year. So they're going to be testing that. And it's always been like such a complex product, right? Like cars or home obviously is even more complex, but now they're going to be able to use this AI that's going to know everything about the cars, right? From warranty to all the questions that typically come up, and it's going to have access to all the reviews from people to really answer some of the in-depth questions that people may have when they're shopping for a car. So I'm always like, if they're selling cars this year, what's coming next? I love that example that you're using of Amazon. And I think home builders are always so eager to, they see somebody online and they want to reach out to them. And it's no, when I'm shopping on Amazon, just because I added something to my, I don't want that company reaching out to me, but I'm still researching. When I'm ready, I will let you know if I have any questions, if I have any questions, that is.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about AI and the search online functionality. I've had some great conversations with John Lee from your company, Inugo, and John brought some of those things to my attention of, instead of searching multiple sites and starting to tabulate the differences, that AI will be your personal assistant and do that work for you and deliver the results. And those are the conversations I love to have with people like John, just talking about what the future holds.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely in an exciting time when it comes to marketing and technology. It's going to be a crazy ride, especially over the next few years as AI starts to evolve. Strap in, I guess that's the best advice.
Marketing never is boring. Yeah.
Never. So, Rob, since you have so many different communities across the country, I'm curious if you can give us a little bit of a download as to what you're seeing maybe across the country as far as leads. The last couple of years certainly have been a little bit more challenging coming out of that COVID craziness that we've seen. Now with interest rates starting to dip and then go back up, and you never know what's going on in any given week. So what are you seeing as far as leads, as far as traffic, and what do you see that's working right now to attract that 55 plus buyer?
We use a full marketing mix. And by that, we use traditional as well as digital resources still. And I think if you funnel everything into one channel, you're missing opportunity. So between our digital, Meta continues to be Facebook, continues to be the primary channel for a boomer buyer as well as a Gen X buyer. They're all there. But then it's also with YouTube and Instagram and exploring into TikTok, because although Gen X may not necessarily be generating a lot of content on TikTok, there's also an opportunity there to be creating content because they're on it, they're watching it. How do you create content around them? But we also do a lot of direct mail, and we're very targeted within that because there's less and less mail out there right now. Direct mail actually pops through. Now, is that the leading cause? Did I come in because I got a direct mail postcard? No, but it contributes to the knowledge that you exist, what you have to offer, and how it may fit them. And if the visuals and the language are appropriate to your audience, they're going to go online, they're going to see what you have, and then hopefully lead them in the door.
Mm-hmm. So, Rob, you mentioned that at the older generation of the 55 plus buyer segment are the most well off. So I assume a lot of them are going to be your cash buyers, or if they're financing, it's going to be a very small portion of that purchase. So how do you see that fact influence the type of strategies or messaging that you're implementing to really attract or speak to that audience? Is there anything special that you're doing with that?
Yeah, one of the positive things about being in the 55 plus space, and I think we have this over every other segment of the home building industry, is so many of our buyers can be cash buyers. But that doesn't mean they're not influenced by what's happening in the news. When you talk about high interest rates and how that's impacting the economy, that puts fear, frustration, frightens people into saying, okay, maybe I need to maybe not make a move. Maybe I shouldn't do something. And you actually have to educate them and say, you understand if you're a cash buyer, you don't really need a loan. So that high interest rate doesn't really impact you. And sometimes it takes a little bit of conversation for them to get that part of the story. Then it gets into conversations. If that doesn't impact you, it's like, how much longer are you willing to compromise on your quality of life? There might be aspects that maybe you played high school sports. I did. I got body parts that still hurt. Maybe climbing stairs every day isn't something you want to do for the next 20 years of your life. Maybe that big yard that you're dealing with and the big house that you no longer need because your kids have gone off to college. I still have one in high school, so getting ready to be that empty nester. And I go out in my yard and I go, I bought this big yard because I wanted to play with my kids, but now we're not doing that as much. So why do I want to keep keeping it up? So you really start to talk about those quality of life issues and those compromises they make staying where they are versus where they could go. It's an education process, and you have to do that within your digital, your social, your direct mail, anything you're doing is, what is the cost of waiting? If you wait any longer, what's that cost to you personally, financially, to stay in your existing home?
Yeah, that's interesting that the interest rates still influence the decision, right? You would think it's like, oh, that's probably the best time to buy a home when nobody else is buying. I can probably get a best possible deal. Everybody else is scared off the interest rates and I'm a cash buyer. But yeah, I'm sure with a lot of them, they don't even realize that they may have alternative financing available to them where they can pull money out of their retirement or take certain other types of loans that may have lower interest rate against their assets, as opposed to a mortgage that's going to have a higher interest rate. So,
yeah, to get nerdy for just a second, I'm not scared to do that. As I've done work in neuromarketing with various companies that I've been in various industries. And it's the three levels of the brain. There's an instinctual, there's a feeling, and then a thinking. People get caught up in their thinking brain, their analytical brain. And that's where interest rates and numbers start to confuse individuals. What you want to get back is to the instinctual thought they had. High interest rates equals fear. I'm afraid to do something. And you have to go back to that. What was your gut thought? Why are you confused by the interest rates? It's usually a fear. And if you can start to allay that fear, you're starting to, again, deal with their feeling brain and their instinctual brain to say, okay, those things that were confusing me, I can get past and go to what really matters to me, what really matters to me as a buyer and in my life, and what I want to have in the next 15, 20 years of my life.
Yeah. So I love the whole psychology of marketing. That's probably my favorite part of it. It's like trying to figure out what really motivates and drives people. So there is a great book, one of my favorites. I've reread it. And I think every time I go back to it, I always uncover something new. It's called Predictably Irrational, I think is the name of it, by Dan Ariely. If you guys want to pick that up, it's a great book on marketing. And it's specifically what he talks about is that people are very irrational, but predictably so.
Yes.
He talks about different messaging. For example, when you say 50% off something versus like free option and how that affects people. And it's always really interesting to think about. So I would definitely pick up that book and it'll help you be a better writer. And I'm sure you could probably... If anybody wants to create a GPT, that would be a great book to put into the GPT to come up with marketing messaging, because it's just such a great book. So Rob, as we're wrapping things up, what are a couple of things that you really want to influence home builders with, or if they're thinking about what's going to be working in the next year or so, or like in this market, what are a couple of things that you would have them concentrate on as far as marketing and sales efforts go?
One advantage that I have is I work not only with our corporate home building entity, but I also am a consultant to our 80 franchise builders around the country. Mm-hmm. And these questions come up a lot. Home builders are very good at understanding, developing land, building homes, revenue projections. What they're not great at is the marketing side of it, the psychological connection with buyers. And so my advice to our builders is often hire a professional, somebody that knows what they're doing. Don't leave it to chance. Your 16-year-old niece that's good at social doesn't necessarily equal revenue for your business. And that gets into revenue starts with marketing. I often use the term marketing and sales, not sales and marketing, because revenue starts with marketing. Somebody has to be aware that you exist, that you have something that they want, and how to contact you before you can then get into the sales process. So having a professional helping you in that regard, moving them through a process, but guiding them and getting them to the right people, getting them to sales so that they can convert them into a sale. It starts there. And look for proven results with anyone that you work with, not just enthusiastic activity. There's a lot of people, agencies, consultants that are all about activity, but do they have a proven track record that has generated revenue for your business? And that to me is a really key aspect of this. And you can lose a lot of money and time very quickly by going with the wrong resource, the wrong people or team. One other thing is, if you want to understand the health of your business, it's not just your lead generation efforts, it's your referral level. Are you making your existing home buyers happy? Are they wanting to tell and talk about your company and tell other people to come buy it as well? If your referral program or referral percentage is not high, there's something to look at first before you go to start generating more leads. It's an operational question more so than anything else.
Yeah, 100%. So Rob, do you think that 55 plus segment is more likely to refer if they have a good experience, or less likely? I'm curious, with the new age of reviews and everything else, where do you see that segment?
I absolutely believe that's a segment that loves to tell everybody about the experience they had, good or bad.
Right.
And I think in any segment, they're willing to tell 25 people if they've had a bad experience, and they tell five if they had a good. So you need to figure out how to make as good of experience as you can so you get more of that word of mouth referral business.
Yep, especially as they have more leisurely time and they're out and about talking to people. So yeah, they can be your best advocate or your worst enemy if they
have a lot of free time. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Rob, I'm curious, what's your stance on agencies specializing in home building versus just like a general? Do you want a marketing agency that specializes in home building, or at least have had experience with home builders? Or do you think it's not that different from general marketing that they can pick up on it?
Yeah, I came from outside the home building industry. So from a marketing lead generation, demand generation standpoint, I think if somebody has a proven track record of doing that in any industry, they can apply that knowledge into home building. When it comes to agency experience, I believe someone who has a major focus in home building is very important because it is a very complex industry and it has its own rules and language and tone to what they do. So it is hard to take a generalist agency and adapt them into the home building space. So I think if you're hiring somebody internally, a proven track record of demand, lead generation, regardless of industry, but if you're working with an agency, they should be, if not a specialist, have a major concentration in the home building space.
100%. Final question for you. Is there anything that maybe I didn't ask you today that you think is important for our listeners to know or any other messages that you want to leave us with today?
Oh, that's a great question. This is a dynamic industry and it is changing rapidly behind the scenes. And I'd say be ready for the technology company that chooses to become a home builder, as opposed to the technology company that's just trying to change the habits of home builders. That's when the change will happen very rapidly. And I would say it's probably happening behind the scenes. There's things happening right now behind the scenes that will come out in a few months or in a year from now that we won't see coming. And that's one that I see that's a definite possibility. The technology company that's just tired of trying to get people to change their ways and just says, okay, we're going to go just go do it and show you what you should have been doing all along.
I agree with you 100%. And I think we've talked about Amazon becoming a home building company one day. And if that happens, oh, I don't know. I think they're going to give us a run for our money. So definitely look out. So we better get on board and give the customers the kind of experience they're looking for. And again, we are customers in our everyday lives. So just draw from your experiences, whether you're shopping for a car or even going out to restaurants, just see what people are expecting. And are you giving them what they're expecting at the very least, right? Or is it so difficult to do business with you to find pricing, to find options, to find any information on your website that people are probably just saying, you know what, forget it, I'm moving on to somebody else.
And a lot of this has been about technology, but sometimes it's going back to fundamentals. Are you a person? Are you a company that people want to do business with? That will be the differentiation, regardless of bells and whistles that are put in place. Are you somebody I want to do business with? Do I trust you? Do I like what you're building? Do you build a quality product? It goes really back to the fundamentals and make that process easy and friendly.
I agree with you 100%. Technology certainly can help that, the process, right, Dave?
Yes.
So, Rob, thank you so very much for being on today's show. I really appreciate your time. And I think it's really inspiring to hear your perspective on 55 plus and how that demographic is really changing and changed already. So if you are a home builder and you're serving that part of the segment, make sure you are brushing up, you're revisiting what they're actually interested in. So I love that you guys are constantly investing in additional research to stay on top of that, because again, they're not your grandfather's 55 plus. I appreciate you being on the show today. And tell us if somebody wants to learn more about Epcon franchising, about Epcon communities, if they want to maybe research if I become part of your network, what types of services I can expect, what's in it for me, where should they go to learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. Us as a home builder, you can find any of our communities across the country on epconcommunities.com. And if you're interested in learning more about what the network of builders does and what they get and how the services we provide, go to epconfranchising.com and any of the other social channels, we have things as well.
Perfect. And Rob, if somebody wants to connect with you personally, is there social media or where do you hang out most of the time? How can people reach out to you directly?
LinkedIn is a great place to reach me, just at Rob Krohn.
Perfect. And I will be sure to link that in the show notes so you guys can very easily connect with Rob. And again, Rob, thank you so much for being on today's show. And hopefully I'll talk to you again. Actually, I'll see you at Tech Home Builder Summit in
a couple weeks.
Nashville. Yeah. So very soon. So see you in person.
Great. Thank you so much. I so enjoy talking with you and everybody at your company. I enjoy everything that you guys are doing.
Thank you. Same here. Talk to you soon.